Chapter 6. Monday, April 11th. Blomqvist got up just after 9 and called Ericsson at Millennium.
"Good morning, Editor-in-Chief," he said.
"I'm still in shock that Erica is gone, and you want me to take her place. Her office is empty."
"Then it would probably be a good idea to spend the day moving in there."
"I feel extremely self-conscious."
"Don't be. Everyone agrees that you're the best choice, and if need be, you can always come to me or Krista."
"Thank you for your trust in me."
"You've earned it," Blomqvist said. "Just keep working the way you always do. We'll deal with any problems as and when they crop up."
He told her he was going to be at home all day writing. Ericsson realized that he was reporting in to her the way he had with Berger.
"Okay. Is there anything you want us to do?"
"No. On the contrary. If you have any instructions for me, just call. I'm still on the Salander story, trying to find out what's happening there. But for everything else to do with the magazine, the ball's in your court. You make the decisions. You'll have my support if you need it."
"And what if I make a wrong decision?"
"If I see or hear anything out of the ordinary, we'll talk it through. But it would have to be something very unusual. Generally, there aren't any decisions that are 100% right or wrong. You'll make your decisions, and they might not be the same ones Erica would have made, or even that I would have made. But your decisions are the ones that count."
"All right."
"If you're a good boss, then you'll discuss any concerns with the others. First with Henry and Krista, then with me. And we'll raise any problems at the editorial meetings."
"I'll do my best."
"Good luck."
He sat down on the sofa in the living room with his iBook on his lap and worked without any breaks all day. When he was finished, he had a rough draft of 2 articles, totaling 21 pages, focused on the deaths of Svensson and Johansson. What they were working on, why they were killed, and who the killer was. He estimated that he would have to produce twice as much text again for the summer issue. He also had to resolve how to profile Salander in the article without violating her trust. He knew things about her that she would never want published. Gullberg had a single slice of bread and a cup of black coffee in Frey's Café. Then he took a taxi to Artillerigatan in Östermalm. At 9:15 he introduced himself on the entryphone and was buzzed inside. He took the elevator to the 7th floor, where he was received by Birger Wadenschuh, the new chief of the section. Wadenschuh had been one of the latest recruits to the section around the time Gullberg retired. He wished that the decisive Frederick was still there. Clinton had succeeded Gullberg and was the chief of the section until 2002, when diabetes and coronary artery disease had forced him into retirement. Gullberg did not have a clear sense of what Wadenschuh was made of.
"Welcome, Evett," Wadenschuh said, shaking hands with his former chief. "It's good of you to take the time to come in."
"Time is more or less all I have," Gullberg said.
"You know how it goes. I wish we had the leisure to stay in touch with faithful old colleagues."
Gullberg ignored the insinuation. He turned left into his old office and sat at the round conference table by the window. He assumed it was Wadenschuh who was responsible for the Chagall and Mondrian reproductions. In his day, plans of the warships Cronan and Vasa had hung on the walls. He had always dreamed about the sea, and he was in fact a naval officer, although he had spent only a few brief months at sea during his military service. There were computers now, but otherwise the room looked almost exactly as when he had left. Wadenschuh poured coffee.
"The others are on their way," he said. "I thought we could have a few words first."
"How many in the section are still here from my day?"
"Apart from me, only Otto Hallberg and Georg Nyström. Hallberg is retiring this year and Nyström is turning 60. Otherwise it's new recruits. You've probably met some of them before."
"How many are working for the section today?"
"We've reorganized a bit."
"And?"
"There are 7 full-timers, so we've cut back. But there's a total of 31 employees of the section within SIS. Most of them never come here. They take care of their normal jobs and do some discreet moonlighting for us, should the need or opportunity arise."
31 employees.
"Plus the 7 here. You were the one who created the system, after all. We've just fine-tuned it. Today we have what's called an internal and external organization. When we recruit somebody, they're given a leave of absence for a time to go to our school. Hallberg is in charge of training, which is 6 weeks for the basics. We do it out at the naval school. Then they go back to their regular jobs in SIS, but now they work for us."
"I see."
"It's an excellent system. Most of our employees have no idea of the other's existence. And here in the section we function principally as report recipients. The same rules apply as in your day. We have to be a single-level organization."
Do you have an operations unit?
Vardenshaw frowned. In Goldberg's day, the section had a small operations unit, consisting of 4 people and under the command of the shrewd Hans von Rottinger.
Well, not exactly. Von Rottinger died 5 years ago. We have a younger talent who does some field work, but usually we use someone from an organization if necessary. Of course, things have become more complicated technically when we need to arrange a telephone tap or enter an apartment. There are alarms and other devices everywhere.
Goldberg nodded.
About 11 million a year total. A third goes to sound, a third to overheads, and a third to operations.
The budget has shrunk.
A little, but we have fewer people, which means the budget has actually increased.
To our relationship, yes.
Shook his head.
The chief of seven, the chief of to us.
The chief of 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 the chief
shuddered.
That's what it was always about.
There was a knock at the door. Goldberg looked up to see a smartly dressed man of about 60, and a younger man in jeans and a tweed jacket.
Come in. Evert Goldberg, this is Jonas Sandberg. He's been working here for 4 years and is in charge of operations. He's the one I told you about, and Georg Nystrom, you know.
Hello, Georg, Goldberg said.
They all shook hands. Then Goldberg turned to Sandberg.
So where do you come from?
Most recently from Göteborg, Sandberg said lightly. I went to see him.
Zalotchenko?
Sandberg nodded.
Have a seat, gentlemen, Varenshaw said.